From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of January, 2022. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take up last week's Hogs and Pigs report with Jason Franken, ag economist from Western Illinois University. Greg Johnson will be here to take a look at the cash grain market with us. He's at Total Grain Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast and what's been happening in Brazil and Argentina. That with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics. He's in Chicago, Illinois, and oh, along the way, I'll tell you to visit our website at willag.org because it's public radio for the farming world and University of Illinois Extension. There you'll find a way to register for the crop management conferences that are coming up across the state of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn settled at $5.99¾ today. It was 7 lower. The May contract at 6.01¼, down 6.5. In December, new crop 3/4 lower at 5.57. March beans at 13.84¾, 25.5 lower. May down 25 at 13.93¾. Next year's November, the new crop at $13.5, down 21¼. Bean meal futures at 4/16/30, 8.70 lower. The bean oil down 75¢ at $58.03. Wheat futures soft red up 3.5 in the nearby March at 7.62. The hard red at 7.78¼, up 3¼¢. And just for grins and giggles, the spring wheat at 9.16, down 7¼. Oat futures, by the way, down 4¼ in the lead at 6.64. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby at 136.25, $1.07½ lower, 400 pounds. Feeders at $165.35, down $1.32½, and the lean hogs at $78.37½, $1.27½ lower for the day. Crude oil at $78.52 a barrel, about 38 cents lower. Diesel fuel at $2.49¢, a penny and a half higher, and the wholesale price of gasoline down a penny and 6¢ at $2.28¢ for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 35,838 is down around 269 points at this hour. We're joined, of course, by Kurt Kimmel on this Monday to take a look at what's been happening in the marketplace. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us, Kurt. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked.
Yeah, you bet, Todd. Glad to be back in the saddle here with you. The market did trade, even though, you know, quite a few people had off and on events here over the last 2 weeks. Just basically getting caught up as we broke there ahead of Christmas and ravined here now. The market's been kind of factored in the southern hemisphere's weather pattern. The trade was really optimistic on production prospects here just a month or two ago, looking at, you know, potential record yield of Brazil producing 145 million metric tons. We've seen estimates as low as 133, 135 million metric tons. But the report on Wednesday is expected maybe be closer to 140 million metric tons. Trade believes the government won't be quite as aggressive on lowering the crop real quick here until we just get a little further along in the growing season. But that enthusiasm plus some cold weather, pickup of meal usage, then just lack of producer selling kind of gave the market some support here. The market is just a little bit overbought and due for a correction. But one general observation in the particular the beans is kind of following the same pattern, the seasonal pattern that was established quite some time back, and it's kind of firmer into mid-January then kind of rolls over and corrects. So got the crop report Wednesday and through here. Technically, the market's overbought. Technically, the momentum indicators are showing some bearish divergence. So the market could be ready for some backing and filling here as we await the numbers there Wednesday morning at 11 a.m.
So more downside potential than you think, given where we are in the month and what seasonals look like, other than what happened for today in the soybean market?
Yeah, I think we could correct, but ever since 1st of December there, the bean market, rallied, over $1.50 a bushel. So we could probably correct, 50, 60, 70 cents and still remain in an uptrend in through here. We're getting to a point now, though, that we've probably priced in enough of the Southern Hemisphere's weather concerns, and that the trade will probably be anxious just to wait and see if these rains materialize here as we move into next week and see if the crop starts to improve versus deteriorating. That's been the trend for the last 30 days.
Can you take me back, a different subject, and we'll come back to the USDA WASDE report in just a second. But last week's hogs and pigs report, we'll hear about that in just a moment. But I'm wondering what your view of that might have been. It seems like it might have given a little lift to the marketplace, or should have given a lift to the marketplace. Do you think that'll happen over time?
Well, on the up front here, we're seeing some, stability. That front's been undervalued in through here. So when you look at the February lean contract, this mid-70, I'd be fairly support. But when you look at the deferred contracts, factoring that hog and pig report was been priced into the marketplace now, we had what we called on the charts a key reversal to the downside. The summer months made new contracts highs, closed below the previous day's lows, indicating that the market has found a near-term top here. When you look at a dollar on the lean hog contract, basically, that's relatively fairly pricey compared to where we are now. And with the product kind of sloppy in through here, it's probably going to be hard to move much above those price levels unless these numbers continue to trend lower and these weights lighten up or the export market picks up. When you look at cutout values, those pork chops remain a bargain. Those pork loins at the wholesale value is 78 cents a pound. Hams are down to almost 40 cents a pound. So the product's discounted quite heavily. We need to move some product in here to get this market to move back up to where we were. Of course, though, the most favorite part of the hog, the pork belly, the bacon remains the most expensive part.
Indeed. I wanted to talk about that first because that brings me to the fundamental side. Grain stocks reports will be due out on Wednesday, as well as the update of the last crop production report for the 2021 growing season. What do you expect out of that grain stocks number? It should reflect what kind of numbers of animals were on hand in the United States and how much meal and corn they managed to consume.
Yeah, the ending stocks is what we're going to be at the end of the marketing year. But you mentioned there the quarterly grain stocks report, and the significance of that, it gauges the usage, as you mentioned there, for a first quarter. It kind of gives a trend. I imagine the overall stocks are going to be just probably a little lower than what the trade's looking for, from the standpoint that we were playing empty going into this first quarter. But the average estimate for corn is about 11.6 billion bushels versus a year ago at 11.3 billion bushels. Bean quarterly stocks, 3.12 billion bushels versus a year ago, 2.94 billion bushels. We'll see where those numbers come in. But at that pace there, we're on the pace to keep the ending stocks estimate at about 1.4 on corn and about 3.20 on beans.
And that's not very much of a change. I think it's 3.40 for beans at the moment. So steady as she goes. That'll set the tone for the first 3 months or the first quarter of the year, you think?
Well, I think that will be a benchmark to go by. Then we'll gauge the basically the export news. We'll watch the export shipments, export sales, to see if China comes through and continues to buy U.S. beans and corn, for example. Then, too, as we move forward in here, that South American forecast is newsworthy. Then that'll give us the short-term ups and the short-term downs. One general observation, this market's becoming highly volatile, or will become highly volatile. And it just feels like we've got computers just taking over the marketplace here. Computers are running it up and running it down, so I think we're going to see extreme moves here as we go through this 2022 marketing season.
Hey, one final thing. Last week, because I was out of the office and did an interview ahead of time, I tracked down your favorite weather service, the Old Farmer's Almanac, and that's up on the webpage. I hope you had a chance to listen to that, and if anybody else wants to go back to it, they can find it at willag.org. Thank you, Kurt, for being with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here, Todd. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Well, the USDA released the December Hogs and Pigs report, and it placed inventory at 74.2 million head. That was down 1% from last quarter and 4% lower than the same time last year compared to the average pre-report estimate of just 2.8%. It's one of the smallest December inventories since 2017, says Jason Franken of Western Illinois University.
While pre-report expectations accurately pegged the breeding herd at just a tenth of a percent higher than a year ago, the market hog inventory is similarly down about 4.5% compared to expectations of only 2.9% lower. These numbers and farrowing estimates add some bullish sentiment. For instance, the decline in lighter weight hogs partly reflects that the September to November pig crop is 3.6% smaller than last year, despite a record number of pigs saved per litter, as 4.8% fewer sows were farrowed for the period compared to expectations of only 3.1% fewer. The record 11.19 pigs saved per litter continues the upward trend observed over the last decade.
Still, that smaller fall pig crop resulting from fewer sows farrowed should imply, says Jason Franken of Western Illinois, a similar smaller slaughter this spring.
While winter and spring farrowing intentions are similar to actual farrowings from a year ago, the fact that both are below average pre-report estimates by 0.3% and 1% respectively seems somewhat bullish. That is, lower than expected farrowing intentions, unless offset by pigs per litter pushing still higher, should translate into lower inventories later on.
And that lower inventory will not replenish the already low frozen meat stocks.
Frozen stocks of meat remain low. According to the USDA cold storage report, cold stocks of pork on November 30th are down 8% from the prior month and 3% from a year ago, which previously was the lowest level for pork since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, poultry stocks are down 17% from the prior month and 18% from a year ago, while beef is up 4% from the prior month and down 4% from last year.
On that note, USDA estimates U.S. per capita pork consumption at 50.9 pounds per person for 2021 and forecasts the number dropping to 49.9 pounds per person in 2022. Prior to COVID-19, U.S. per capita pork consumption reached 52.4 pounds. That was in 2019 and was the highest level it had seen since its 54.2 pounds way back in 1981. With this outlook for domestic consumption, the market will likely again, says Rankin, look to exports to help bolster prices.
For 2022, the first and second quarters respectively are forecast to be about 9.2% and 2.2% below year-ago levels, while the third quarter is forecast to be 11.7% higher. Hence, while weaker export demand is anticipated for the first half of 2022 compared to those large exports we saw in 2021, it is expected to bounce back later in the year.
All in all, the Western Illinois Ag Economist says the recent USDA report shows some optimism for the price of hogs over the coming year. Hey, do check out our website at willag.org. There you'll find a way to subscribe to our programs like this one. The Closing Market Report is a podcast. In fact, on the homepage, if you scroll down, you'll find links for Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, NPR One, and Amazon Music Now. Those are all for the Closing Market Report. If you happen to hit the podcast page, you'll find the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. And Each of those, you'll find a subscribe button in the player, and inside that, you'll be able to subscribe to each of the podcasts separately. Now, on our homepage, again, at willag.org, a couple of things that are coming up in the schedule. You'll want to keep track of the 2022 crop management conferences are coming up. These will make the most of the informed decisions that you can do on your farm. By getting the latest research updates to improve the productivity of your farm, you can also get some CCA credits. There are 12 of them available. Those are the Certified Crop Advisor credits by simply getting yourself registered for one of the 2022 crop management conferences. There are four of them. The first one of them, by the way, is Wednesday, January the 19th. That's in Mount Vernon. The others follow in the month of February. Let's check in on the cash grain situation now with Greg Johnson. He's at Total Grain Marketing, that's TGM, here in Champaign County, Illinois. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd. Good to be with you.
Well, the marketplace broke, particularly for beans. What was that predicated on?
A couple of things. One, we've gone up $2 a bushel since the middle of November. So in just over 2 months, we've gone $2 higher, and nothing goes straight up or straight down without some hiccups along the way. So I think there was some profit taking over the weekend. And the probably the impetus for that profit taking was a change in the forecast in South America. Argentina and southern Brazil had an extremely dry December. They've had some damage already. It's supposed to be hot and dry again this week, but the forecast 6 to 10 days out, starting this coming weekend, is calling for 3/4 of an inch to 3 inches of rain in certain spots in Paraná and other areas of southern Brazil, as well as Argentina. So if that forecast materializes, obviously then that will stop the bleeding on the soybean crop getting worse. And so that that's pressuring the soybean prices today for the most part. It's a forecast 6 days out. So it isn't raining down there yet, but there is a forecast of rain for this coming weekend.
And I used the word broke. I probably should not have done that, because futures are futures in the cash grain market. Sometimes differs slightly from that. How has it reacted to the change in price today?
Well, the soybean basis didn't get as strong as the corn basis did, but we haven't seen a break in either corn or bean basis. The corn basis is still extremely firm. Farmers are tight holders of corn. I think we've talked about this before. They're using corn as basically a proxy for input costs and acres for next year. I keep saying next year, but I guess it's this year now for this coming year. But farmers are very tight holders of corn, and until they see how many acres are going to get planted on that March 31st planting intentions report, see what input costs do this spring, it feels like farmers are willing to hold on to corn. And if they do need to sell anything for cash flow purposes, it's soybeans. So we're seeing a little bit more movement in soybeans than we are in corn, and that's reflected in the basis. Corn basis is extremely firm for corn for the January, February, March time frame.
But bean basis is not exactly weak.
No, it's still very firm. Farmers are in good financial position, so they really don't have to sell. They will sell if the price is good, but they don't have to sell. And, with some of the sales that they've made previously, they don't need to sell as many bushels percentage-wise. So, in the past, maybe you had to have a half to two-thirds sold to pay the bills. And with these kind of prices, maybe you only have to have 40% of your crop sold. So not as many bushels getting sold, on a have-to basis. It's if they want to sell because they like the price, that's one thing. But they're not being forced to sell, and they're not selling. They're being extremely patient, and it's worked so far.
It works so far. USDA report is due out Wednesday. What do your instincts tell you?
It looks to me like we'll see a little bit higher ending stocks numbers on all three commodities, corn, beans, and wheat. Not a lot, maybe 20 million, 25 million bushels in the corn, 5 to 10 million bushels in the beans, that type of thing. So not any. I don't know that this report is going to be a big market mover, although a lot of times it is. But I think there's a very good chance that we trade the report for about 1 day, and then we go back to trading South American weather.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. I hope you had a great new year.
Hi, Todd. Happy New Year, and thanks for having me.
Well, let's start in South America. They have been suffering through really dry conditions in part of Argentina and southern Brazil. Will things change very much?
Well, things won't change here this week. In fact, dryness looks to persist across much of Argentina and southern Brazil. And then actually the biggest story this week is going to be the extreme heat building up across those areas. In fact, starting tomorrow and continuing into the upcoming weekend, there much of Argentina will see high temperatures above 100, even above 104 degrees. So it's a major heat wave for multiple days and very limited rainfall here this week, further, you know, stressing summer crops. Beyond that, though, looking out into next week, that's the window of opportunity. In fact, computer model guidance has, since last week, have trended wetter for both Argentina and southern Brazil. What looks to be happening here is this ridge of high pressure that's now in place over southern South America, it looks to weaken, and that opens the door for not just a quick rain event, but actually multiple days with rain across Argentina and southern Brazil, which will at least provide some relief, you know, more so some stabilization. But obviously, you know, those rains are needed here given this week's extreme heat and the, you know, long-term dryness that's been in place.
In the northern parts of the growing area of the continent, they have been getting a lot of rainfall. How much of a concern do you suppose that might be?
Right now, concern is fairly limited. Obviously, for the start of soybean harvesting and winter corn planting, you know, the rains are beginning to interfere as it's been, you know, one of the wetter growing seasons over the past 20 years across Mato Grosso and Center West Brazil. But actually, next week, things look to change a bit. In fact, as southern Brazil and Argentina turn more active, Center West and overall northern and eastern Brazil looks to turn less active and drier. So that'll help improve the situation. Still need to keep an eye on things longer term for, you know, the potential resumption of heavier rainfall, you know, more so deeper into the harvest. But for the time being, at least going into the second half of January, things look to improve.
Can you check in on the winter wheat crop across the planet for me? I maybe start in the United States. I don't know whether there are other places that are very worrisome, but it's been very dry and very cold, which is not a particularly good combination for the hard red winter wheat growing regions.
Yeah. Looking around the world in terms of winter wheat, the biggest concern right now is here in the U.S. in the southern plains, which, again, it's been exceptionally dry and also, you know, warm fall and warm winter so far. And basically, that looks to stay in place throughout much of the second half of January. So that puts a lot of emphasis on springtime rainfall there across the southern plains. Outside of that, we don't see any extreme cold or anything threatening here moving into the central U.S. wheat areas. Also, we have no concerns right now, at least for temperatures and also moisture for Europe and the Black Sea. Their wheat crop has improved, and at this time, don't see any issues of note developing over the next few weeks.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.